Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Groot-Niblink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero-G Draft Strategy, and in this podcast, Blake and I are going to give you all the best streamers and ad options for next week so you can start planning early. Let's get it. And of course, I have your friend and my best friend, the man I command an analyst who will ascend, Blake Kramer, here with me. Blake, how are we feeling tonight?
Ascend. Oh, my God. Were you going through the dictionary again, Nate?
No comment.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Yeah. Buddy, I'm doing very well. I missed you last week for sure. Yeah. It feels like it's been longer than a week. So it's always nice to have you here. I was telling you offline, but I do enjoy doing the waiver show by myself sometimes, but it's so much better with another person, damn it. So, oh, and then if that person's you, oh my God, that's just icing on the cake. So, and you know what? Last week, it was probably the worst fantasy week that I've had this season. Like all my teams, just like epic collapses too. Like I was up and then, you know, the games on the weekend, I lost, you know, pretty much every match. So that really sucked. And now I'm having one of the best fantasy weeks I've ever had. I mean, it's only Friday. So yeah, I have Saturday, Sunday for a full collapse, but that Minnesota Vancouver game, I mean, I hate that the Canucks got pumped, but I got Boldy, I got Cap, I got Jeke. I'm going nuts. I got the zucchini, man. So yeah, it's been a great start to the week. I'm loving it. But how are you doing, buddy? You feeling good?
Feeling better. Yeah. Took a bite out of our family. Nasty virus went through everybody. So, I still feel like kind of oddly fatigued and not like just mentally necessarily, not just physically, but like just different somehow. I don't know. It's weird.
But, you've changed, man.
I've changed. But anyway, made it to this point, made it back. We're back at it.
Oh,
and
right.
We're back at some newsies. So, Blake, take us in.
Newsies. This is what we got to doozy. Okay, I'm sticking with that. All right, first thing, TJ Oshie of the Washington Capitals, unfortunate injury, non-contact injury, actually, which always are pretty sketchy. When you get a non-contact injury, it's always like, okay, that's going to be, you know, a month. He's probably going to be week to week. So he ended up crawling to the bench in their last game. So he didn't skate today, which is Friday. He's not going to skate on Saturday either. So Coach Carberry is going to update when he can, but I would expect that we're going to be without TJ Oshie for a little while here. So how about Wilson? Tom Wilson, probably going to move back up to line one, power play one, if I had to guess. You know, or we might see Max Patch on his off wing, maybe. I don't know. That would be nice. But he's getting – his deployment's kind of stinky. So it's been a bit of a lukewarm season for Max Patch already coming off the Achilles injury. So just keep an eye on game day lines. But I think Wilson's going to be the benefactor there. All right, we got to talk about Nikolaj Ehlers. All right. You know, I wrote these news notes before the game tonight, and, you know, Rick Bonus said he's battling something, a nagging injury. So he was questionable going into the game, but he didn't end up playing. And of course, he pops for two goals. One of them was a beauty from like a ridiculous angle. I mean, Ehlers is a freaking stallion, but, you know, 14 minutes. That's what Rick Bonus decided to play Nick Ehlers tonight. The man who pretty much single-handedly won him the game. So I don't know, but in my notes here, I've got, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers has a short fantasy leash for me, and then he popped for two goals. So I guess we ride. We ride with Ehlers a little bit longer. I mean, this guy's just a great player. I mean, imagine if Ehlers got the 20-minute a night treatment. What do you think we could expect from Ehlers if he got that, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I've said in the past, like, one of these years, Ehlers is going to pop for 90-plus because some coach somewhere is going to finally just let him run. So I don't know when it's going to be. I do not think it's going to be under Bonus at any point, and it doesn't seem like Bonus is likely to be going anywhere at this point. So, yeah, I don't know when it'll be, but I do believe that there's a 90-point Ehlers season at some point in his future.
Book it. That's the spiciest of hot takes right there. Ehlers for 90 points? No, I'm with it, all right? I'm backing up that take there. I do have to, you know, I did stop calling Rick Bonus Rick Boner for a little while, but I think I'm going to bring that back. And I'm not, I'm talking about Boner from Growing Pains, the 80s sitcom. Do you, obviously you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Nate, but yeah.
No, I'm a young man.
Before. Yeah. Okay. That's a bit hurtful and passive aggressive, but you know, we're going to move on past that. Mike Seaver was the kid in Growing Pains and his best friend's name was Boner. There, that's all I got to say. All right, let's move on. I just like saying Boner. I'll keep saying it. Over the Florida Panthers, Matt Tkachuk and Gustav Forsling both day-to-day after leaving the game against the Hurricanes on Thursday. So they didn't skate today. Updates are going to come probably when you'll be listening to this on Saturday. So we should get some updates here in the morning. But I would expect that we're probably going to be without Tkachuk for at least a week. In my experience, if it's something minor, they would have shared that with us already, right? Or sometimes the player does that themselves, like, oh, no, I'm good to go, like, whatever. Tkachuk got hit in the first period on an icing play, and he was actually allowed to leave the ice with the injury. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. If he does miss time, look for Sam Bennett-Dyson to jump up to the top power play. He played in that game where Tkachuk left. He played over 20 minutes, Sam Bennett, and got a boatload of shots. So I think Bennett is an add if Tkachuk is out. Like, I think he's an auto add, you know. He's gonna be on that top power play, and that top power play is a wagon. So Forsling, on the other hand, he has an undisclosed injury as well. He played under 5 minutes in that contest. So just more ice time for OEL, Ekblad, they get bumps, and Montour's floor stays rock solid. How about our boy, Brandon Montour, Diamond Hands? This guy doing stuff. I don't know. You feeling good about this Montour little bit here? Obviously, he didn't do anything last game, but, you know, we don't care about that.
Yeah, I've been hanging on to Montour everywhere. Like, I just will never drop somebody who is exhibiting the under the hood numbers that he was for the past. Yep. Basically, since he came back from the injury, he started producing under the hood. He just could never actually hit the score sheet. So glad to see that it's finally seems like it's starting to break through, and hopefully we get the full Monty here from Brandon Montour.
Oh my God. I could go for that. All right. The full Monty. No one wants to see a naked man. All right. The naked man's body. Do you ever see that Seinfeld episode? Like, it's just like a bunch of tools. You know, it's like looking at a tool shed. You know what I mean? We don't need that. All right. No full Monty, but, you know, maybe like a loincloth or something. That's are you with me on this, Nate? I don't know.
No,
where I'm
it's
going with
full
that.
Monty or bust.
You know what? I'm fine with it. Let's see the full Monty. He's a beautiful man. I don't know where I'm going with this, but let's not rule anything out. Anyways. With the Hurricanes, let's talk about Mr. Anderson, Freddie Anderson. He's been skating with the team. This is great news. He could be nearing a return to the ice. What a great update right there. But he has been skating and practicing with the team. Obviously he's dealing with a medical issue, that blood clot issue that he had. So I don't know, just keep an eye on it. I think he could be a stash, but you and I have talked about this before. I don't think there's a real guarantee that he comes back into the lineup and just takes the number one job away from Pyotr Kochetkov, right? The guy's been playing great, just had a 44 save shutout the other night. So it's going to be interesting. I think of those three, Ranta is going to be the one that's probably just kicked to the curb. They're not going to be caring about that too much. And I would wager that, you know, it's kind of a 1A, 1B situation with Kochetkov as the 1A. I don't know. How do you see it, Nate?
Yeah, that would be my best guess at this point. Obviously, you never truly know, especially with a guy like Rod Brindamore. It's impossible to divine his thoughts, but
he's an enigma.
That's what my best guess at this point would be, is Tkachukov 1A, Anderson comes back as 1B. They don't try to overwork him or anything as he comes back from this.
Maybe we'll get a full Monty from Freddie Anderson too. Oh, you know what? Just free the beast. Let's do that. Let's try and start a movement, a hashtag. It sounds awful.
I'm already regretting this.
Yeah, do not free the beast, all right? This is not, it's not the time. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Jack Eichel. Not a ton of news here, but he is expected to travel with the team for their upcoming road trip. So I don't know. It doesn't mean he's going to play, but it's a good sign nonetheless, like that he's nearing a return. So I don't know. Keep your eyes on that, but good news for Jack Eichel owners. He was playing great before he got injured, so I would expect him to come back and, you know, get the biz here, and there'll be plenty of ice time and offensive opportunity available because Mark Stone is week to week with an upper body injury. Surprise, everybody. Mark Stone is injured again. He's one of the only guys in the league where I will say He has an injury history. All right. This guy, I stay away from Mark Stone because he's literally like maybe the only guy, but this is not an injury to his back. So that's good news, but it's just another injury that he's week to week with. So that does suck for Vegas, but hopefully he can get back in time for the playoffs and, you know, take him to the Stanley Cup, randomly again, while the Vancouver Canucks just toil away in mediocrity. Oh God, it's 1970. Ah, geez. All right. But anyways, Mark Stone injured. That's the point. Moving on over to the LA Kings. Victor Arvidsson, see you at the party, Victor. No, I won't see you at the party, Victor. I'll see you in the infirmary. All right. The Victor Arvidsson experience is over. He's out week to week with a lower body injury. That sucks. That really sucks. He was back for like 17 seconds in that one game or whatever. And then he took himself off the ice. So again, that's showing no good. So, but we know what the Kings look like without Arvidsson in the lineup. So it's nothing crazy fantasy wise. Although PLD has been playing pretty damn good lately. I got to say that. I mean, it doesn't really show on some of the metrics, but yeah, I've watched a couple Kings games in the last week here. And yeah, the commentators are talking about PLD and he just looks good out there. So I don't know. That's terrible analysis, but you know, it's what we call the eye test, everybody. All right, Nate, you with me on this?
I have been an avowed opponent of the eye tests and I will continue to be so.
Take my eyes. Just show me the statistics, everybody. you know what? If I had to choose, I'd choose statistics 100% of the time. All right. That's how we get the biz here at Apples and Genos. All right. I'm getting a little long in the tooth over the Bruins. Hampus Lindholm is week to week for the Bruins. In irrelevant news. So yeah, if you're rostering Hampus Lindholm, sorry to hear that. All right. Joseph Woll. He's been sent to the Marlies in the AHL for a conditioning stint and actually won a start tonight 4-1. So that's really good news. And that's going to muddy the water for sure in Toronto. How do you see the goaltending situation playing out there in Leafland, Nate?
Yeah, I think Hutch touched on this in his podcast midweek here, but I see it pretty much the same way. I do think that the intention going into the year was that it would be some sort of split between Woll and Samsonov, and I don't think they really had a strong preference who would take the kind of 55% of that and who would take the 45% of that, the 1A or the 1B. So I do think that that's the most likely outcome here again, is that we have a 1A, 1B situation. And honestly, like, it wouldn't shock me if Samsonov was the 1A if he plays decently well, and if Woll takes some time coming back from this injury, like if he's not exactly all the way back to where he was when he was injured, then yeah, it wouldn't shock me either way to see Woll as the 1A or as the 1B when he comes back.
Yeah, for sure. And you got to think this win streak is you know, putting something in Samsonov's favor for sure. He's been playing pretty well, so I like that. A last bit of news here: Travis Konecny injured in practice. We're talking about practice. No, not TK. Take anybody else. Just take, you know, Scott Lawton, get him the hell out of my sight. Not TK. But yeah, he's injured, so we'll have to check his status prior to game time. I mean, this guy's been a unit and a buy low that's, you know, gotten hot. We called this one, Nate. I mean, it's not rocket science, but, you know, we called TK as a buy low, and then he popped the hell off, and hopefully he's able to go on Saturday. So that's it for the newsies. Nate, take us into what week 20 looks like.
All right, week 20, we got Monday with 4 games, Tuesday 12 games, Wednesday just 2 games, Thursday we get another 12 games, Friday down to 3 games, Saturday heavy night 13 games, Sunday we have 6 games to round out the week. In total, that's 52 games played on the week. Pretty normal week in terms of volume overall. We got 4 teams with a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back to open the week. That's Dallas, LA, Ottawa, and Washington. So if you do have room on that busy 12-game Tuesday, you can look at those 4 teams to give you a little bit of a head start on the week. You got 1 team with Monday, Wednesday to open the week, and that's Edmonton. There are no teams that actually have Wednesday and Friday off night. So if you're really heavy on the Thursday, you don't have a lot of really good options from a single team to avoid that, unfortunately. 4 teams with Friday, Sunday off nights. That's going to be Anaheim, Arizona, New Jersey, and Washington. It is just kind of an awkward streaming week, especially if you are full on Tuesday or Thursday. There are not really good options. Like, even Edmonton being the only team with a Monday, Wednesday, Edmonton, as we know, is not a great team to stream from. You can try to capture lightning in the bottle with whoever might happen to be in the top 6 in terms of the wingers there. But that's about it with Edmonton. And so It is going to be a tough week in terms of streaming. So hopefully you got a little bit of room on either the Tuesday or the Thursday, and you can get a little bit creative with it. As we say every week, set your lineups, check what you got, see if you got an open spot on the Tuesday or Thursday here, and that will really open up what you're able to do for the week. All right, Blake, bring us in with the worst teams to stream from. These teams we might be looking to drop some players from.
Beautifully said, my man. Oh my God. You got honey in your voice tonight. You're all the way back, buddy. And I'm loving it. Nate, give us a half Monty. No, he's not doing it, folks. You're going to have to go to YouTube to check out the quarter Monty. Nate,
that's under the Patreon.
No. Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the highest Patreon tier in the friendship, air quote friendship experience. You'll get the half Monty from Nate. All right, we're talking about the worst teams to stream, drop fringe players from, and we got a couple good candidates here, Calgary and Chicago. They both play two games with zero off nights, and that show ain't no good, all right? Calgary plays the busy Tuesday and then the Saturday, and then Chicago plays the Thursday and the Saturday. So, yeah, you're gonna have to make some decisions on these players here, and it's not going to be that difficult with the Chicago team, honestly, but Calgary is where we're looking at, you know, making some hard decisions. So Nate, of some of these players, I'd like to get your thoughts on. First up, we got to talk about Rasmus Anderson. And I would like, what do you think about this player? Because he's not getting power play time currently. He's good peripherally, and we know that he has some offensive acumen, but what are you doing with Rasmus Anderson in a two-game week?
Yeah, it's pretty tough, honestly. Like, he's still skating the lowest he's skated in, like, as far back as you can scroll in Yahoo. Mm-hmm. There was one game that he got below 20 minutes, 1958. Everything else is 21 plus. So he's still getting tons of ice time despite the lack of power play time. I will say, like, he has been pretty cold. He went, 7 straight games without a point before having 2 assists against Winnipeg on Monday. And then his last game, he didn't get any points again. He's not really a shooter, so he doesn't, like, provide you a ton there. He's not really a hitter. He does block a decent amount, so he does give you that. Anderson is a tough one. I have him in Kakupful in a 14-team league like that. I am hanging on to him. I'm not truly thinking about dropping him. I mean, I just picked up Matthias Ekholm on the wire there, which is good one.
Yeah.
If you were in a shallower league than that, like even in a 12-team league, I think you can consider if Ekholm's out there. Ekholm has a great schedule next week. He's been actually pretty high. He's been pounding shots again, hitting, blocking, doing all that stuff. Obviously, we know he can run into some straight points here and there with the way that Edmonton can put the puck in the net. I don't hate that, but I am... Yeah, it is really, really dependent on what's available on the waiver wire for you. And if there is somebody out there like an Ekholm, then I'm considering it. But if there's just like, if it's true bare bones, it's been picked over for defensemen, as I feel like it is in a lot of leagues, then I think Anderson is still probably a guy that you want to hang on to for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That makes total sense. Moving on, there's a couple of players that I think are very interesting, and I'll spit out a bunch here, but here's some guys that they're fringe players, but I'm probably keeping them. And they are Nazem Kadri, Noah Hanifin, and oh God, Blake Coleman. Blake Coleman to me, like I think I'm definitely keeping Kadri and Hanifin, and even Hanifin is like, because he's getting power play two right now. But yeah, Blake Coleman. Talk to me about Blake Coleman, Nate, because this guy's obviously overachieved this year. He's a guy I've been really high on, but only because he's been living in the fire. He's been cooking at unsustainable rates. His rank overall, like season rank in a bunch of leagues, is really high right now. So it would feel weird to drop Blake Coleman, but I've got him in two spots and I'm considering the drop, right? Especially this week coming up because it's a difficult week. So what are you doing with those players there, Nate? And you know what? Why don't you throw Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich in there as well and tell me what you think of all those players.
Yeah, the one that I am trying to hang on to is Kadri. Kadri's been a pretty consistent performer, honestly, after a short spell at the beginning of the season where he wasn't doing too hot. He's got 6 points his last 5, ninth in individual scoring chances, 4/60, ninth in on-ice scoring chances, 4/60 through last 5 games, skating over 19 minutes a night. I just think Kadri now, you cannot drop him. So I'm hanging on to Kadri. Pretty much everybody else I'm definitely strongly considering. Coleman's gone cold a little bit here. Just one goal his last five games. Underlying metrics are not so hot in the 200s for shot per 60 and individual scoring chances for per 60. If he's not doing those things for you, then that becomes a little bit dicey. Coleman and Hanifin actually were both dropped in my Kickoffle division by a team that's scrapping to make the playoffs. They're just looking ahead and seeing that they actually tried to trade with me for those players before they dropped them, just to see if they could get something for them. But yeah, they're in that range. Like if that's you, like if you got to win next week to make the playoffs, if to have any chance of winning in the playoffs, then I do think that these are guys that you can drop, and I wouldn't feel badly about anybody not named Nazem Kadri.
Bang. I love that, buddy. It's so much better when you're here. All right. We get so much just more coherent information. All right. I happily admit this. All right. So that's it for the Calgary guys. I mean, yeah, I think Kuzi and Sharon Govich, like exactly what you said, Nate, these guys are, if you're scrapping to get in, definite drops. Kuzi, to me, like we talked about this a little bit offline, but the guys, the same deployment issues are happening in Calgary that happened in Vancouver. So now it's not like, oh, this guy's a dingus. No, it's like, something's going on with the player. The player is not getting some element of the NHL game to the NHL coach's liking, right? Like he played like 10 minutes the other night. That show ain't no good. We can't hold Kuzi for that, even on power play one. So that's my two cents there. Beautiful head of hair. I don't know. But let's move on to the Chicago Blackhawks that actually pulled out a nice point tonight. Anyway, not that it matters to them in the standings, but the players were looking at, oh God, I mean, Seth Jones, That's a real player. You know what I mean? Like, I think Seth Jones is in that same vein as you're talking about Blake Coleman and Huberto and Hanifin. Like, if you're scrapping to get into the playoffs, like, bounce Seth Jones. Sure. I mean, format depending, too. Like, if it's a bangers league, I don't know. You got to think a little harder on that. But, you know, he had a nice little game here tonight, Seth Jones. Nice stretch pass for one of the goals. And, he just looked good, and he's getting a ton of minutes. So, to me, Seth Jones is a potential hold if you can. But, I mean, Nick Foligno, Philip Kurashev, what the? No, get these guys out of my sight. And drop Connor Bedard while you're at it. I mean, no, don't drop Connor Bedard. All right, come on. I love Connor Bedard, how feisty he was the other night. Did you see that? He was kind of getting into it. Like, he's such a beauty, man. I'm a big fan of that player, and I hope that they surround him with some talent so he can, you know, reach his potential sooner. Because he'll reach his potential, I think. Just it could take a little while there, the Blackhawks. But what are you doing with these players, Jones in particular, Nate?
Yeah, Jones is the interesting one for sure. I think everybody else not named Connor Bedard, you're pretty content to move away from after this week's over. Jones is getting crazy minutes. Like the lowest in the last little bit here is 26-28. So he's definitely getting minutes. He's throwing pucks on net. He's chucking pucks. We love to see that. A little bit of a soggy boy as of late. Hits, blocks. He's doing all that. So, yeah, I mean, if it's a Bangers Cats, you might find a reason to hang on to Seth Jones just for that. I do think that he probably even deserves a little bit better in terms of the points as of late. Should be getting some goals with the amount of shots that he's thrown out there. So I'm not trying to move off of Seth Jones. I understand it if you're looking at your lineup and you're like, man, I've got to make moves. I got to make up games played. And there's somebody out there, like maybe it is Matthias Ekholm. I'm probably going to use that example a lot to compare players to, just given the schedules for next week. But yeah, if you absolutely have to have it for next week and Ekholm's out there and you're looking at him versus Seth Jones, I can understand that kind of move. But yeah, that's kind of the level of player I think it would take for me to move off Seth Jones, even in a two-game week.
Yep, absolutely agree. All right, let's move on. Another team with kind of a garbage schedule are the New York Rangers. Two games with only one off night. So the Rangers play on Wednesday, which is just a two-game Wednesday. So I don't know. If you have a Rangers player, like one of these guys we'll talk about, maybe you hold till the Wednesday game and then you punt them and maybe get on a Friday-Sunday team or something like that. But yeah, it's not a great strategy, to be honest. And the truth is there isn't that many players on the Rangers that all their main guys are going to be holding, right? But some of the players we're looking at, Alexis Lafreniere, that's a player that you're going to have to make a decision on for sure. Kaapo Kakko has been getting some increase in minutes and offensive deployment. And then Keandre Miller, if you're rostering him for some reason, I think they're all drops. That, to me, like I'm not holding them. Like I said, if you want to, maybe you hold for the Wednesday. Lafreniere, maybe for the Wednesday. But I think there are probably better options out there. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Nate?
Yeah, I think that's a fair take. Lafreniere is obviously the guy closest to the line for me. Again, like on the season, Lafreniere is now sitting at 27th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Like he's had a really, really solid season, yeah. And he's actually been quite consistent under the hood. The only thing really holding him back from being more impactful has been his lack of power play time, in my opinion. He's on pace for 50 points with some power play time. You could be looking at a 65-point player, which would actually be pretty nice. So Lafreniere's a guy I've got in Kickupful, 14-team league. I'm probably going to end up holding him there. But in anything below that, I think you probably do have better options out there. I think unless Lafreniere is getting top power play, he's probably somebody who's just a fringe guy. So I'm happy to move off of him and anybody else below him.
There you go. You got the seal of approval from Nate. All right, and that's what we want. All right, and then there are 9 teams that have 3 games with 0 off nights. They are the Carolina Hurricanes, Colorado Avalanche, Detroit Red Wings, Florida Panthers, Montreal Canadiens, Nashville Predators, Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Toronto Maple Leafs in Vegas. All right, they all play on the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So, yeah, you'll have to look at those teams and decide what you want to do with some of those players if you're holding fringe guys. Okay, but now we got to get to the best teams to stream. Or as Nate fondly refers to it when he's lying in bed at night, the creamiest streams you've ever seen. Oh, God. I don't know if I like what Nate did there. That made me feel weird. But you know what? Let's roll with it. I'm actually kind of warming up to it, and now I feel good. All right. We got to talk about Edmonton and Washington. Those are your two prime streaming teams that we want to look at here. And unfortunately, especially with Edmonton, like Nate said, there's it's kind of slim picking there, but they both play 4 games with 3 off nights. And these off nights are going to be crucial this week because it is kind of a stinky streaming week. So if you can go out and grab some of these players, and you know, we're looking at Edmonton, we got to talk about Warren McLovin Fogle, buddy. He's on the top line. All right. Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care if he gets any power play time. He's on the top line. He's chucking pucks like he does. All right. I think Fogle would be a great add this week because they have, don't they have the Monday, Tuesday there?
Monday, Wednesday.
Oh, Monday, Wednesday. Oh, that's even better. Oh my God. So I think Fogle would be a great add to start the week. And then you just punt him, right? Like, let's say he doesn't even make the top line on Wednesday, whatever, you hold him for Wednesday and you say, see you later. Thank you for your service. But I mean, we got Fogle and then Ekholm, I think, like you mentioned, Nate, this is a guy I've been big on all year. And I know you have as well. He had a lull for a little while there where he was coming close to drop territory for me, but I mean, he's really picked it up. Like he in Kickupful scoring tonight, he had like a 5-point night without any points, right? He got shots, hits, and blocks. Like he just did the thing. And I love that. That's what you get with Ekholm when he's at his best, right? And then, like you said, Nate, he'll roll into some points there. So I'm a big fan of that player. If he's out on your wire, he's a must add for this week, in my opinion, especially in a deeper league. And then Corey Perry. Are we doing anything with Corey Perry, Nate? I mean, what's he even been doing lately?
Yeah, really the key takeaway for me with Edmonton is I'm just trying to grab a piece of whoever's in that top 6. Right now it's Fogle. I'm probably trying to hang on and get an idea on Sunday if I can stomach waiting that long, if I don't have to make a decision until the last second on who I think is actually going to be in that top 6, because anybody outside the top 6 in Edmonton is probably not worth rostering even for a Monday, Wednesday. So that's really the objective here. Like Perry's been there, Fogle's been there, and McLeod actually did get there in the right game before this one. So like they've tried everything multiple times. They've tried everything. So Fogle, I would say is the odds on favorite, but like that does not mean a lot to me. Everything could change by Monday. So that's the takeaway for me here. Ekholm is obviously safer, but probably not much of a fantasy ceiling there. But Fogle is probably the guy you're looking at the moment, but you're going to be biting your nails to see if he's actually going to stay in the top 6.
It doesn't matter. He's that good, folks. Warren Fogle, Warren McLovin Fogle, are you telling me that we shouldn't stream in that all-time sleeper Connor Brown? Is that what you're saying, Nate?
I think he is the definition of a sleeping player on the ice this year.
He just fell asleep. Yeah, no, he's literally a sleeper. Yeah, he's taking a nap on the bench. Thank you, Connor Brown, for your service. I'm sorry, Connor. Yeah, he's a big fan of the show, as everybody knows. Buddy, we're just joking around. Don't worry. Have your people call my people. We'll get a lunch. We'll catch up. All right, let's move on. We got to talk about Washington. Definitely some more options here, especially with the Oshie injury. We're looking at Wilson, obviously. Tom Wilson, I think, should be good to go for this week. It doesn't mean he's going to produce, right? This guy has been in a funk for a long time. Started out the season red hot and then just fell off the rails. He's really been doing nothing, even his hits and things like Pims. He's not doing that. Like he's softening up. I don't know. He's becoming a nice guy or something like that with a beautiful head of hair and a granite chin. But Wilson, buddy, you know, can we get 20, 25 goal Tom Wilson, please? 50 point Tom Wilson. That's kind of what we need. But I think, yeah, this is a step in the right direction. You got Wilson and then Dylan Strome. Yeah, this is a guy who, if he's out there, I think you got to be getting Dylan Strome for this week. It makes absolute sense. Power play one, and he's been cooking lately too. So talk to me about Wilson and Strome, Nate, and what your thoughts are on those two players.
Yeah, Wilson is in a massive cold streak right now, 13 straight without a goal. So that part is a little bit worrying. And he's really kind of fallen off in the underlying metrics from earlier in the season where he's hot. That hasn't come back. But yeah, as you mentioned, probably looking at some Ovechkin exposure at both even strength and on the power play now if Oshie's going to be out for any period of time. Right. So I would be interested in a Wilson pickup. Just kind of almost by default, mm-hmm. because of the schedules this week and how it works out and the fact that Edmonton has just nobody. Strome would definitely be the guy if Strome is available and you can use him. Obviously, Strome is C only, so if that matters to you, then maybe you have to look at Wilson. But Strome is definitely the guy if you are able to fit him in. One goal, 7 points his last five, averaging over 19 minutes a night. Even the underlying metrics are looking actually not that bad. For Strome, usually he's a guy who doesn't shoot a lot, but he's pretty efficient on the season, outpacing for 31 goals, 61 points. And I feel like that's probably more or less the point pace we should expect from him rest of season, given the setup that he's in currently. So like Dylan Strome a lot. Obviously, I picked him as my head-to-head streamer deathmatch player of the week, I think, multiple times this year. And he's
Have you won with him yet?
Oh, I have won many times.
I just have to have said that. I don't know.
Sorry, I am just going back and looking through all of my wins here now, just trying to find that single one where I won with Dylan Strome. Yeah, I won with Dylan Strome a couple weeks ago, actually. It was not even that long ago.
I have a terrible memory, but now I hate Dylan Strome. So there you go. That's where I'm at with that.
So yeah, Dylan Strome's a guy. Max Pacioretty, they're like not even using Max Pacioretty. I would normally be a little bit interested in him, but he's under 13 minutes a night in the last five games. Yeah. That's not any good. Like I saw somewhere that like they might consider trading him. If you're gonna trade him, like at least showcase him a little bit, right? Like
yeah.
I have no idea what they're doing with Max Pacioretty. Theoretically, if Pacioretty got a bump in deployment, then I'd be interested. I threw Connor McMichael in there too, because he's got 5 goals his last five games here, averaging just over 15 minutes a night. Underlying metrics, not so bad. 98th in shots per 60, 84th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. That's okay. Connor McMichael was a pretty heralded prospect at one point. He's had, like, I would say stretches of a week or 2 weeks where the underlying metrics creep up for a bit, and then it always seems to go away, and he never seems to get extended looks in the top six. Now, obviously, with Washington's situation this year and Kuznetsov being Kuznetsov, he's gotten a little bit more of a look this year. And so I'm not, like, opposed to a McMichael stream in the deepest of leagues, like in 14-plus team leagues. So that's my take there.
Yeah, absolutely could be an option. Yeah, I totally echo your sentiments on Pacioretty too. Like, what are we doing here? I don't understand picking up a goal scorer like this and, yeah, giving him 10 minutes a night, 12 minutes a night. It doesn't make sense. But, I mean, obviously we knew going into the season, like, he's left wing, Ovechkin's left wing, so there's going to be some issues with him even getting out in his spots, right? But that said, I mean, get him out on the ice. What the hell are we doing? Let's move on to the next couple teams here. There are three teams that play 4 games with 2 off nights, and they are the Arizona Coyotes. Yay! LA Kings and the Ottawa Senators. We got to talk about the Coyotes again, all right? And this should be quick because we just had a, you know, 4-game, 4-off-night week with the Coyotes. I think we know what to expect with these players. But again, we're looking at Lawson Crouse, Nicky Schmaltz, all right, Dylan Genther, Matias Michelli, and Barrett Hayton. What say you, Nate? Who are we targeting here and why?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get excited about anything coming out of Arizona right now. The team's a mess. The ownership group is a mess. Everything is just very, very messy there currently. Right now, like, you know, I'm never going to give up entirely on Nick Schmaltz. 66th in individual scoring chances for per 60 the last five games, still averaging close to 18 minutes a night. So that still plays probably a deeper league that you're looking at that. But I still think he's an option. Lawson Crouse, 39th in shots per 60 last five games. That's a good number. So Lawson Crouse is probably the top guy at the moment. But I still believe Nick Schmaltz has it somewhere within him to have a good week one of these weeks. Currently, though, he's not even on the line with Keller, which is super concerning. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's Genther and Cooley with Keller. And yeah, that's not a good look for any of these guys. I'm still not really into Genther and Cooley, even though Genther is playing with Keller at even strength and on the top power play. Genther's numbers are not great. I think he may run into some points. He could look that way, but I would still prefer Crouse or Schmaltz personally. Hayton, I have some hope for to come back at some point, but it's been a slow burn thus far, and it may continue to be so.
Yeah, it's not exciting by any means. I feel like Arizona is treading into Seattle Kraken territory, right, with their deployment. It's like they're all just eating each other's minutes and value in fantasy, right? Like they're all playing 15 to 17 minutes. Yay. You know, like there's nothing really to get excited about. But yeah, I agree with you. Lawson Crouse, Nick Schmaltz, those are probably your ads. Dylan Genther, I had, like I was telling you, Nate, I had him for like a week there for that schedule. And yeah, he got a couple goals. He's out there on the power play. He was out there on a power play in one of their games in the last minute. So I don't know. You could do worse, but it just doesn't feel good. It's like, oh God, I didn't get A, B, C, or D player. Okay, I'll go with E player, Dylan Genther. So that's where I'm at with all these Coyote players. So that show ain't no good. But anyways, those are your options there. Let's move over to a team that has some better options, the LA Kings. All right. And we're looking at Quentin Byfield. What a beauty. Did you see this man's goal the other night? This could be the goal.
Pretty hard to miss.
Jeez. He kicked it up to his stick. He lifted a stick, kicked it up at the same time. Oh, my God. You got me on this player like halfway through the season and I'm still on the train. This guy's awesome. And yeah, I mean, if he's out there, you got to roster him for this week. Four games, two off nights in a stinky week. Like get Byfield on your team. What the hell's going on? Are these just dummy leagues or something? Like, no, he needs to be on a roster at this point with this team. So yeah, Byfield still power play one as well, which is what keeps his floor up. If he was off power play one, yeah, I wouldn't be as hyped on Byfield, but he's got that role. He's line one as well. And the Kings they're turning it around a little bit. So I really like Byfield there. And I did mention earlier about PLD. He's been playing a lot better. The eye test, Nate's go-to metric there. We should throw that into the Excel sheet here. eye test. I don't know. Do your magic, Nate, like just do some formulas, plug it in. We need something there. Maybe we get Mark Barber in on this as well. Just tandem it. Let's create just a monster. I don't know. But PLD's looked good. He's starting to hit. He looks a hell of a lot more engaged. You also got Matt Roy. You got Philip Deneau. Yeah. Take your pick. There's some good options there on LA. Who are you targeting there, Nate, on LA?
Yeah, I mean, if Byfield is available, I think that's the option. He's consistently outperformed any player he's played with in terms of the underlying metrics, which is, I mean, it's not a bad sign, that's for damn sure. So I'm still very interested in Quentin Byfield. He's not like a guy who like drops like seven shot games. I don't know if he ever will be. He's obviously still a very young player and growing into what looks like a potential superstar, but I think that he's still the guy to roster there. Actually, the underlying metrics have come up a little bit, like 70th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 in the last five games. On the season, he's at 90th, so he's in a good stretch right now, in a good place. He's playing with Dubois and Lazat in the last game at even strength, which is not exactly what you'd like to see, but it does seem like they're moving some stuff around there, trying to get things rolling, so who knows how long that will last. Either way, like it does kind of feel like Byfield is the dude, and he's on the top power play, which is another check mark for him. Dubois, I'm like, he's got 5 points his last five games. Underlying metrics are pretty atrocious. He's got some halfway decent on ice numbers from playing alongside Byfield, in my opinion. And I remain relatively uninterested in PLD. Like, it would be a pretty tough decision for me to choose between PLD and Lawson Crouse for next week if those were two guys that were available to me. Matt Roy, Phil Deneau, these are guys, like, if everybody else that we've talked about already is already taken, then these are the kind of guys that you start to look at, and you start to, you know, tilt your head 33 degrees to the right, and they look a little bit more attractive, and you're like, all right, we can do this. That's about the category that those two are in for me.
That's high praise. Oh my God. Yeah. It's on their business card. All right. Yes. Oh God. Let's move on. But there are some options there. I don't mind PLD in this particular week, just with the way that he's been playing lately. So I don't know. My two cents
sounds
on that.
Sounds like a streamer.
Oh God. No, I would never do that. No, I only choose JJ Paterka over Boone Jenner. Why?
That was a puzzling one.
Yeah, you know what? You weren't here to check me. If I got to look in your eyes, I would have chosen Boone Jenner. All right? I'd be like, no, I'm taking my man. Anyways, we'll get to that later. All right, let's move on to Ottawa. They've got some options too, some really good options that these guys haven't got over 50% yet. It's insane. But Vladimir Tarasenko, Josh Norris, who finally, you know, got off the schneid the other night with a two-goal performance. But, I mean, he's still on power play one. The Pinto Bean, Shane Pinto, he's on power play one at times. Ridly Greig, Matthew Joseph. I mean, who's your target here, Nate, with Ottawa?
Yeah, it is kind of tough to say right now. So, yeah, you got Tarasenko playing with, at least in the last game, with Tkachuk and Pinto, which is pretty good. Obviously, any exposure to Brady Tkachuk is probably a good thing overall for anybody. So Tarasenko and Pinto are kind of even there. Pinto does get the top power play, so you give him a little bit of boost there. And then, obviously, you got Josh Norris, who's on the top power play, playing with Batherson and Greig at even strength, but reduced minutes relative to the other two kind of top nine lines there. The other one being Drews, Joseph, and Stützle. So, overall, I'm kind of into Shane Pinto a little bit. 97th in shots for 60, 51st in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 the last five games here. He's only got a couple points to show for it, but he's skating almost 19 minutes a night. So he's at least putting himself out there. Like, Josh Norris through this stretch is just over 50 and a half minutes a night. So, like, yeah, I'm kind of into Pinto. I have Pinto in Kakupful, again, 14-team league, so it's a little deeper format, but I had him, picked him up, and I've been kind of just hanging on because he's still been producing under the hood, and, you know, I've been able to get him into the lineup. He hasn't been, you know, just sitting on the bench rotting away for me, and I'm kind of into it a little bit. So Shane Pinto is probably the guy for me out of those three. How about you?
Yeah, I would say so as well. And it's really weird with the Jacques Martin coming in there. Like, we can't rely on what we knew about the Ottawa Senators, right? The type of deployment that was given. Like, Jacques Martin is prioritizing Pinto. So we need to prioritize Pinto, right? And the metrics kind of show that as well. Like, on the season, this guy's a low sample size, like only 13 games, but he's 11th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 in the league in 11 games. Like, that's a decent sample size. So I'm definitely in on Pinto as long as he's power play one. I do hate the power plays that they're doing there. It reminds me, I don't know why teams are doing this year. It's so weird. Like, New Jersey is another example. Like, the way they don't load up one power play. They kind of split it all up. And obviously, like, they know what they're doing in real life for hockey and to win games. But for fantasy, it's hot garbage. All right. Like, what are they doing to my boy Batherson? Get this guy, you know, give him some minutes. Actually, Batherson's been looking really good lately, but he's not getting any minutes. It's pissing me off. Anyways, I'm digressing on that. But yeah, I think Pinto is a great option. I like Norris as well. Although, yeah, like I said, before this two-goal game, he was doing nothing out there. So Pinto's got the metrics, and he's got the deployment. So I think that's who we ride with. All right, let's move on. We got a couple other teams. We are going to get to the best players to stream and all that business. Next couple teams here, Anaheim Ducks and the New Jersey Devils both play three games with two off nights. So again, we're targeting those two off nights because it's a really garbage week here, and these off nights are going to be at a premium. And Anaheim, bang. We got a lot of good options here, starting with Troy Terry, who's found his game, his legs. I love to see it. But Anaheim is doing this stupid power play thing too. They're, you know, they got Troy Terry on, you know, air quote, the power play two, or, you know, they got him out there with Mintyukov, where Cam Fowler's out there with Adam Henrique and a bunch of others. Just strange stuff, right? Frank the Tank Vetrano. But anyways, Terry's still doing the thing. He looks great. Mason McTavish has been flying as of late. And we got to, you know, we got to recognize Cam Fowler as well, that late night beauty. He's at the bar. He's just waiting for you to go up. Hey, buddy, you want to be on my team? Yeah, he does. All right, let's go, Cam. So talk to me about some of these Anaheim players. I mean, you know, there's a ton of them, right? We're talking Adam Henrique, Alex Killorn, Ryan Strom, Leo Carlson. What are we doing with these guys this week, Nate?
Yeah, obviously I'm going to be into Terry. Obviously I'm going to be into McTavish. Fowler, you can roster pretty much any week. The rest of them are pretty dicey, in my opinion. Like, it's a little bit of a 50-50 chance what you're going to get with any of those guys. The underlying metrics really across the board do not look that great. Troy Terry's obviously got the best there as well. But yeah, once you get outside of Terry and McTavish, it really starts to get dicey, in my opinion. I'm not excited about anybody outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the metrics here. It's only three games with Killorn. Maybe that's why. But yeah, individual scoring chances for 67th in the league, 2 points in three games. I mean, decent deployment too. So Killorn is someone I might throw in there as well. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at Terry, you're looking at McTavish, and then you're looking at another team. All right, that's what's going on. But, you know, Mintyukov is out there as well. I like the player, but he's not getting the deployment. It stinks. So, you know, if you're going to go with the D-man, I mean, offensive upside obviously is Minty, but Cam Fowler's old faithful. All right. So that's how we're doing that. I don't know. New Jersey Devils. Let's talk about them. So we're looking at Dawson Mercer. I don't want to wait. Dawson's Creek. Terrible show. All right. Let's agree on that. But Dawson Mercer, he's okay. All right. He could have a nice NHL career. He's probably out there. Eric Halla, who has access to Jack Hughes on his line there, which is a nice little piece. Simone Nemec and Andre Palat. How are you prioritizing these players, Nate?
It's interesting. Dawson Mercer got on the top power play with Hughes, Heischer, Toffoli in the last game here. Nice. So that's obviously driving things up a little bit in his favor, but he's not been getting really any minutes outside of that, playing with Meyer and Curtis Lazar at even strength. I think I'm still preferring Eric Halla just for the even strength exposure to Jack Hughes at the moment. But it is tight, I will say, between the two. Like, that top power play is somewhere you want to be. So that does give you some lean for Mercer, but overall, if I'm splitting hairs between the two, I think I'm still going with Halla.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And then, I don't know, Nemec. I'm just this guy's going to be a great player. I don't question that, but I'm just not excited about him this season for fantasy. I don't see the production. He's like a lesser Luke Hughes, and Luke Hughes is pissing me off. You know, so it's like, and he's even less than that. So, you know, I get a lot of questions about Nemec. Like, should I pick him up? It's like, well, do you want a power play two defenseman who's, you know, really not doing anything out there? Like, yeah, if you do, then go ahead, get Nemec. Like, this guy's going to be a beauty, like in Dynasty. This guy's going to crush, I think, eventually. But I don't know. I'm not excited about Nemec. And then Palat, I don't know. It is what it is, right? Slim pickings. So that's where we're at with that. I'm going to go through six teams here, Nate, and I want you to give me your best streamer for these teams. Okay. All right. It's Buffalo, Dallas, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, San Jose, and Winnipeg all play four games with only one off night. So let's start with Buffalo. Who are you taking on Buffalo? It better be Casey Mittelstadt, Nate. Come on.
I think I'd honestly take Peterka. Mittelstadt is going through one of his real down slumps. He's not getting top power play. Peterka at least is going to give you a lot of shots. Like, I know you're not happy with him for the streamer results this week, but he's still firing pucks. He's still doing all that. Just hasn't found the way into the net. Maybe he does that a little bit more next week, and it turns out to be a good week for you.
Yep, absolutely. Love Peterka. That's the right answer, Nate. All right. Casey Mittelstadt, thank you for your service. But we're going with JJ. All right. Shout out to, oh God, Coco Melon. That's what I was going to say. Oh God. Don't shout out Coco Melon. That's a horrible show. Why did kids watch this crap? What the hell is Blippi? Seriously. Like, I have watched so much Blippi. That man's deranged. Like, yeah. Do you guys watch Blippi over your house there, Nate?
Blippi is not one we've braved yet.
God. There's no need for it. All right. Just get it out of it. Just no, it doesn't exist. All right. It's horrible. Soul crushing. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Dallas Stars. Who are you taking, Nate? Who's your stud? Because we got some options there. I mean, you know, Mason Marchment, Johnston, Sagan. Who's your Huckleberry on Dallas?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like Marchment and Sagan are both above 50% rostered on Yahoo now. So really, if you're kind of adhering to that line in the sand, then it has to be Wyatt Johnston. I'll happily take Wyatt Johnston, though. I think this is a player that remains underrated somehow. Your 2024-2025 Dallas Stars team leader in points, Wyatt Johnston. I'd be happy to have him on my team.
Bang. What a take. What an unbelievable take. We got to clip that and save that, all right? And send it to Wyatt Johnston's people so we can get him to shout out the pod, all right?
Can we get him on Cameo?
I think, you know what? I'm going to look into that, all right? I haven't had any luck on Cameo. I think it's just a fake website in particular. I don't even know if anyone's getting anything. Anywho, Wyatt Johnston, amazing last 5 games, 6 points in 5 games. He's first overall in individual scoring chances, 4 for 60 over that time. Wyatt Johnston. All right. We're not crazy over here, folks. All right. This man can do stuff. Okay. Let's move to the next team. Minnesota, that ridiculous wagon that they are. I mean, we know who the studs are, but who are the supplementary pieces here? Who are you taking on Minnesota?
It's not great, to be honest, outside of the Stars there in Minnesota. Really, you're looking at, you know, your Marco Rossi, who's had a really nice rookie season so far. Ryan Hartman is playing with Zuccarello on the second line, along with Marcus Johansson. Jonas Brodin has had a nice little stretch here for fantasy purposes. Obviously, absolutely, he's going to play a ton of minutes, but it's not even playing on the second power play unit at the moment. Really, I think the correct answer, just given the deployment, has got to be Ryan Hartman. I'm not excited about it, but that's if you absolutely have to have somebody from Minnesota, Hartman's the answer for me.
Yeah, I'm into it, man. I know he's not an exciting fantasy option, but he's a consistent one. I've had Hartman in a bunch of spots, and I've ended up holding for a lot of spots because he's just doing enough. So, yeah, and he got an assist tonight randomly, you know, so he does that. I like Hartman there, so that'd probably be my choice. All right, over to Pittsburgh. What do you think? Who's our Huckleberry on Pittsburgh? Because we got some interesting options here that are all going to be viable.
Yeah, Raquel is still widely available, which is pretty shocking in my opinion. He's still out there. What is it? He's still only 28% rostered in Yahoo, which is mind-boggling to me. Been playing on the top line and top power play and doing some things with it. He's got a few assists across his last 5 games. He's got 3 assists. He's had a 5-shot game. He's had a 5-hit game. He's doing some things.
Oh my.
So I'm into it with Ricard Raquel, definitely, like over Riley Smith, over Lars Eller, over anybody else you can really think of. Brian Rust kind of clears the level of a streamer at this point, I think. Otherwise, I guess I would take Rust over Raquel if he is out there. But Raquel, I'm pretty happy with if he's out there for you to be picking up.
You got to go for it. He's on a strange, erotic journey from Milan to Minsk. Raquel, you got to pick him up. What are you doing? Oh, power play one. This guy's a legend. I love, and he hits people. He's a beefer. He's mad. All right. San Jose Sharks. Are we? Oh, God. Does anyone go, you know what? I got to get a San Jose Shark this week. And if so, who would they pick, Nate?
I guess you'd have to pick Mikael Granlund. Definitely going to have the most steady ice time of anybody there. Going to be on the ice in the situations in which normal NHL teams would score points and score goals. So I guess it's Mikael Granlund, but that is absolutely scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Dear God. And I do got a shout out, as I like to do, Mark Barber at 18Skaters on Twitter/X. This guy says we should take a look at William Eklund. All right. Just keep an eye on him, right? This is the same guy that called Slavkovsky's breakout. Although I don't know, I haven't heard anything from Mark Barber lately since Slavkovsky's been, you know, just sticking it to us with a bunch of zeros, buddy. No. But I am low key interested in William Eklund as well. Just watching him to see what he does. So check that out. Oh, okay. Last team, Winnipeg. Who are you picking here? Because I think I know the answer. I think there's one right answer and we got to do it. But what are you doing, Nate?
Yeah, it's got to be Gabriel Vilardi. Ehlers is still rostered in more than half of leagues. So He doesn't quite count for this. Yeah, Valerdi's comeback. He was very cold for a while. He's come back with a vengeance. Yeah. Four shots, three shots, and a whole bunch of points. He's got 4 goals and 4 assists in his last 4 games. So, yeah, I think Gabe Valerdi doing the thing again, and I'd be happy to roster him.
We're going to the Valerdi party, everybody. Also, shout out to Sean Monahan, 5 goals in 5 games. Sell high, everybody. For love of Pete, this man's not going to do that. All right, Nate, tell us the best players to stream. Oh, my God, we're getting long in the tooth.
Let's get right into it. The number one player has to be Dylan Strome for my money. Realistically, I think he's the only player from that 4 games played, 3 off nights group, Edmonton, Washington, that you're actually legitimately excited about picking up. And then beyond that, you're like, oh, this is getting tough. So actually beyond Strome, I went down to the 2 off night teams and I grabbed myself some Troy Terry, who's been on an absolute bender as of late. And then I went to Quentin Byfield, went to Mason McTavish, went to Shane Pinto, went to Josh Norris, Vlad Tarasenko, Eric Halla, and then finally got all the way back around to Tom Wilson. So you can see how little excitement I have for these teams, these Edmonton Washington teams beyond Dylan Strome. And yeah, I just have no faith in Tom Wilson at the moment. Obviously the deployment, yeah, maybe you want to bet on that, but the underlying numbers are so bad. I wonder if there's more to the story that we just don't know about with Tom Wilson, to be honest with you, just how bad it's been as of late. The last and 10th player on the list is whoever's in the top 6 in Edmonton. If it's Vogel, if it's Perry, if it's McLeod, whoever it happens to be come Monday morning, that's who I would want as my 10th player on this list. What do you think, Blake? Anything I did wrong there?
No, but you're absolutely right. And just, yeah, it's not exciting, is it? Like, it's not amazing streamers. And yeah, Wilson, this, just because he's getting more deployment now, it doesn't mean that we're going to see production. So yeah, I agree with you. I think there's something with that, but you got to put Fogle before Wilson. But no, you didn't even put the man's name on the list, Nate. I mean, geez, that's hurtful.
Fair enough. Let's keep rolling. Let's talk hits. Beck Malenstein, absolute monstrous hitter. So definitely if you need some hits, go looking at for Washington players, go looking for Beck Malenstein. Tom Wilson does that too. So yeah, definitely if it's Bangers Cats, then Tom Wilson has a little bit more attractiveness to you for sure. Vincent Desharnais from Edmonton, you get Fairvary, obviously back from Washington, Joel Edmondson, Dylan Holloway, Matthias Ekholm, all these guys are viable hit streamers. On the block side, Desharnais is the top guy. Jensen from Washington, top guy there. Then you get CC, Ekholm. Malenstein actually does a little bit of blocking as well, as does Tom Wilson. So those are kind of well-rounded banger cat streamers that you could be looking at. What do you think about these two lists, Blake?
Love it. Yeah, this is a little off topic, but I picked up Jeremy Lazan for just kind of the back half of the week here. The guy popped for a goal and an assist the other night. Unbelievable, nice. Buddy, in Kakupful. So yeah, I was super stoked on that. A shout out to Jeremy Lozon. This guy is just an epic hitter this year. I love it.
Nice. Let's keep rolling with the best players to add for the future. Some players that you might actually be considering hanging on to for the rest of the season. So Troy Terry's still 42% rostered. That's got to change. Quentin Byfield, Gabe Vilardi, Wyatt Johnston. Then you get down a little bit more, and this is a little bit of a tear down probably. You get into the Lekkonens, the Raquels, the Stromes, the guys who are a little bit more products of their environment perhaps than actually play drivers. I still have love for guys like Nick Schmaltz, Sam Bennett, Lafreniere, Norris, Couturier, PLD, and Monahan. I still think Monahan's going to have some relevance, but it's definitely going to be streamer-ish level every week. And every time they have a bad schedule, you're going to be wondering if you should be dropping him. But yeah, definitely Terry, Byfield, Vilardi, Johnston for me are all like slam dunk guys that I would consider to be holds for the rest of the season at this point, unless something really starts to change in the next little bit. What do you think about the top of the list here, Blake?
Yeah, I agree 100% with your top four. I agree with the whole list. I'm still holding out hope for Lekkonen, though. I still do think that when things settle there, he's going to be the 20-minute man. But, I mean, it's on and off at this point. He needs to be up on that top line. But, yeah, top four, dunks.
For sure. Sub 20% rostered. I think you can look at a couple names. Shane Pinto, we've gone into a little bit here. I'm relatively impressed with what he's done so far. Obviously, small sample size, as we alluded to. Kyle Palmieri, who we talked about, or you talked about, rather, on the flagship show, just what he's been able to do since Patrick Waugh took over. Just unbelievable scoring chance generation from Kyle Palmieri. So at the very least, I'm not mad about it if Palmieri is a guy that I have to pick up and hang on to for a while. Sub 10% rostered. You can definitely look at Anthony Cirelli. He's been getting more run on the top power play unit there. And yeah, he hasn't been doing a whole heck of a lot with it, but he is getting 20 plus minutes a night, and you have to figure that he's going to factor in at some point. So Cirelli is there. Sub 10% roster this time of year is a pretty barren wasteland. I also am still holding out a little bit of love for Barrett Heaton. I want to see it before I'm picking him up, but I do think that there's a player here. I don't think last year was a complete aberration where he was able to shine with Keller and Schmaltz. So yeah, I'm holding out a little bit of hope. I do want to see it before I actually go and pick him up, but I'm still monitoring Barrett Heaton moving forward. What do you think about those four names, Blake?
I don't like it. I love it. All right. Bang. That's how we do. What a legend you are.
All right. Let's talk some defense. Ekholm's at the top of the list. Obviously, streamer-wise, he works out with the great Edmonton schedule, but he's also, I think, just a guy that you could do worse than just hang on to Matthias Ekholm as your fourth or fifth defenseman for the rest of the season. Colton Parayko, Cam Fowler, Jamie Drysdale, Torrey Krug. The list is not great of defensemen sub 50% rostered this time of year. Sub 20% rostered. Jamie Drysdale is actually only 10% rostered at the moment, and he has been getting some run on top power play. However, nobody knows how long that'll actually last under Torts, but while it's happening, I think Drysdale could be a pickup and a hold. He hasn't done a whole lot with it yet, but I do think that there's at least a chance that he provides something there. Sub 10% rostered, very, very slim pickings once you get down here in the defenseman. Jonas Brodin, 6%, just because he's been hot. Minnesota's been hot. And he's going to skate a ton of minutes for Minnesota. So I do think he could probably do worse. I mean, anybody out there thinks they can find a better sub 10% roster defenseman, by all means, hit me up. We'll have a debate. What do you think about the defenseman here, Blake? Any omissions? Anybody who sticks out to you?
Yeah, well, what are your thoughts on Bowen Byram while I got you here? Because I did talk about him a little bit last week because he had a little stretch there. But again, the minutes aren't really there. What do you see for Byram moving forward here rest of the season?
Yeah, my problem is that the minutes are not there and the underlying metrics have really not gotten to a point where I'm like, oh, I got to actually sit up and take notice of this. It looks like just kind of a... Like earlier in the year, he was not doing too great, but he was also just wildly unlucky. Now he's getting lucky, but he's still not honestly playing that great, in my opinion. So overall, I'm just kind of, for whatever reason, Bowen Byram this year is not the player he was last year. And we just have to kind of accept that reality until he shows us something different, in my opinion. Okay, let's roll into the last part. Let's talk about goalies. Samuel Ersson still under 50% rostered, so he's going to top the list here. Charlie Lindgren got back-to-back starts for Washington, which I think is actually pretty noteworthy because he hadn't even played all that well necessarily leading up to it, and they kind of just gave it to him and said, no, you're like actually the guy. So I actually do think that Charlie Lindgren is the 1A until further notice there in Washington. He's still going to split some time with Darcy Kemper, but I think that's how they view Charlie Lindgren at this point in time. So that's newsworthy for me, and especially with a four-game week next week with Washington, you can feel pretty good that Lindgren's going to give you a couple games next week. Sam Montembeault in Montreal, obviously there's been talk about Montreal moving a goaltender. What are they going to do exactly? Montembeault's just going to, I think, get some starts. There's not a lot of options in this range. Like, are you really looking at Elvis Merzlikins? That's a tough ask at this point with how Columbus has looked. So it's Montembeault, it's Merzlikins, it's guys of this vein. Once you get beyond Ersson and Lindgren, and then sub 20 for 25% rostered, I went all the way down to Anton Forsberg, which is a bit of a deep cut, but his last three starts have actually all been pretty spectacular if you go back and look. And so I'm a little bit into it. Korpisalo is definitely not like absolutely run away with the job in the last little bit. And yeah, Forsberg made a start, Korpisalo made two, then Forsberg made a start, Korpisalo made one, and then they went back to Forsberg again. So it does seem like he's at least played himself into every other start situation at the time, at this point. So maybe moving forward, he gets even more than that. So I'm a little bit interested in Anton Forsberg. I'm not expecting too much, but have a little bit of interest there. What are your thoughts on the goalies, Blake?
Lowered expectations. Oh, God. Nate, what? Actually, I've been wanting to ask you. I haven't even thought of this till right now. What about Peter Mrazek? Where are you at with him? Because his name's been kind of tossed around just as a fantasy piece, right? Like, obviously, we know what team he plays for, and that's garbage. But he's had a low-key decent season.
I think Mrazek has some interest. In my opinion, if you're going to pick up Mrazek, you're looking ahead at the next few games for the Blackhawks. And if they're running through all the big scoring teams, like if they're going to go play Florida, Toronto, Tampa Bay, something like that in the next week, then that's probably not the time I want to be picking up Peter Mrazek, because he is going to get lit up by some teams like that from time to time. But I mean, he is going to get a lot of shots. He's got a 909 save percentage on the year. I'm not opposed to picking up Mrazek, but I'm kind of viewing him a little bit more as like a week-long stream kind of player rather than one that I'm just comfortable, you know, actually picking up and thinking that I've
like
got something here.
Kind of guy. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, let's talk about everybody's favorite subject, the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. And the season record is 9-8 for Blake, but not to worry. I've got Boone Jenner, so all is right in the world. After three games for both my Boone Jenner and your JJ Paterka, Boone Jenner is leading 21 points to 9.5 points. They both have one more game to go. I'm hopeful at this point. That's all I will say. I will not try to, I'll try not to jinx myself too badly here, but, Boone Jenner, like, what were you doing, Blake? What was actually going through your mind?
You know, I don't know, man. I do this sometimes. It's like, I got the yips or something. I just like, I forget what I'm doing. This makes no sense. I try to get cute with it now. All right, this show ain't no good. You have an option to choose Boone Jenner. You choose Boone Jenner 10 out of 10 times. Shame on me. All right, congratulations to you.
All right, so for this week, it is my turn to pick first. I am going to pick Dylan Strome, as I've been alluding to kind of all the way through. He's my guy. He's won this for me before. I have every confidence that he will do so again. Blake, who is your champion that you will be submitting to lose to Dylan Strome this week?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, you're actually insulting yourself here, Nate, because I'm taking the man that you said is going to be the 2024-25 leader for the Dallas Stars, Wyatt Johnston. All right. Ooh. Points leader, Wyatt Johnston. I'm riding with this, you know, young buck, this young blood. He's going to pop off this week. I can feel it.
All right. I do like that pick. If there's anybody who could get hot for a week and absolutely go off, I do think Wyatt Johnston is of that caliber. So I don't mind that whatsoever.
Thank you. Thank you for your validation. Appreciate that.
Yeah. No problem, Benny. Anytime. Nice. All right. Before we get out of here, if you made it this far, we would really appreciate if you could like and subscribe. We're on our way to 1,000. We just passed 750, three quarters of the way there, but we need a little bit more boost to make our way all the way up to 1,000. So if you could help us out with that, if you're listening on audio, give us that rating, 5-star rating, a little bit of a review that we could read out on the podcast would be nice as well. We love to do that. Thank you for your service. If you need some more help heading into fantasy playoffs, trying to make the fantasy playoffs, you can check out the Apples and Geos Patreon. $5 a month, I'll answer any question you have. $10 a month, I'll do a team review with you each month. So definitely that's something you can be looking at as well.
And Nate, what's the price for the full Monty? Huh? Come on, don't hold back on that one.
The full Monty is an undisclosed amount. I think it links through a separate website with different initials. So that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, that's all right. It's very discreet.
Very discreet. But that's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value. Hope you'll get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band. They're there for supplying music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.